Appliance Discounters is a locally owned company that began with one location in Webster Groves, Missouri in 2009 and has grown to six locations covering Missouri and Illinois. We always offer the lowest price on all appliances for our customers. We carry in-box and out-of-box new appliances at drastically lower prices than any competitor. We purchase our appliances direct and buy the truckload to receive the lowest price from the manufacturers and then pass the savings on to you. That's how we came up with our motto, our savings are your savings. Shop us at theappliancediscounters.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Kelly Morning After, just completing the Acorns Golf Links. 7 o'clock hour here on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. Coming up at 8:30, Rick Hummel with us at 9 o'clock. Corey Hirsch, Blues, Blackhawks, game to a pony for all ponies tonight in downtown St. Louis. How do you do? Doug, which one will you be at?
I'll be engaged with a little lady at the time, a little lady called journalism.
So you're going to go in your little cubby hole and just hunker down?
I won't be able to go to either game. I'll have to put together a 7.5-minute Sports Friday presentation.
For what time? That goes on at like 6,
no,
6 o'clock?
No, it goes on at 10:15.
Well, you can watch them both at the Post Sports Bar and Grill. They have Maplewood. They have the location in West County off Old Bay. I call it West County. I don't know if you would call it West County. Plowboy, what would you call it?
I call it West County. I don't know the area of St. Louis too much.
The area of St. Louis.
Well, that's where you live.
Anything that I need to get to, I just type up on my Google Maps. And
yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is. Tell the listeners about the Post because they love you at the Post. You are the Postmaster General.
Well, the love is mutual because I love the crew there that works there. And let me tell you a little something about them. Hmm. We all know about the famous cheesesteak.
It's great.
It really legitimately is, and I love the wings from the Post.
And what you may not know?
What?
Free Blue Note shop for Steen goals. They continue to give out tickets even for the postseason. Check out their Facebook and Twitter pages for more information on the giveaways. And during Cardinal season, 22-ounce domestic draft specials, Cardinal ticket giveaways every Tuesday and Friday games, 20% off your bill when you bring in your Cardinal stub of that day's game, and free Redbird shots when Grichuk hits a bomb. Obviously, the two locations, one on Manchester and Maplewood, and new location, Creepcore at Olive and Old Ballas. Visit them online, thepostsportsbar.com, and stay posted, my friends.
Boo.
We were drinking on grits yesterday, I assume.
Boo, that's right. Although it almost wouldn't have counted. I wonder how they would have handled that.
It shouldn't have counted. It should have been out.
Brewers weren't paying attention. Pay attention.
No, or the umpiring crew wasn't paying attention, and neither were the Brewers. That's bizarre to me. I guess because the outfielder, it ticked off his glove. He almost made the catch, so I guess that's where all the attention's focused.
Yeah, the whole stadium was watching that. And not I saw that happen in the 70s. A Giants player named Ed Goodson hit a fly ball to deep center, and it's when they had brought the walls in a little bit, and they were only like 6 feet high, and Willie McGee went back, and just like that, leaped for the ball, and it looked like he caught it, but he didn't really catch it, and Ed Goodson thought he caught it, and he stepped on first base and rounded it and went back to the dugout, and McGee opened his glove and didn't have the ball, and they called him out. Hit it out of the park, and he was out. They gave him a single, because that's as far as he touched.
Touch me. Yes, Steve.
Hey, boys.
Hello, Steve in Wildwood.
How you doing, fellas?
Well, we're fine. You?
Well, it's an exciting Friday in St. Louis. Cardinals and Reds and Blues and Blackhawks.
Duncan Keith makes his return. What impact will he have on the series? It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out tonight.
I hope someone slaps him across the face with their stick. I hate that
guy.
He was wakey-wakey.
Yeah, yes.
Denies
it. He was slashy-slashy for the suspension.
Yeah, it should have been 10 games, not 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If Reeves would have done that, he would have been suspended for 30.
Yeah,
it's totally there's an inequity there. I'll be in section 110. I'll go over 106 and say hi to Adam.
Nice.
Doug, if you want to come down, I'll be 110 row BB.
Well, I'm listening to sleep with each other.
110 row BB.
Doug's gonna get a price for you.
Yeah, they're going for about 129.
God,
on
man,
the
I, these
StubHub.
Are. I am shocked to see how inexpensive
bargain, yeah.
These are.
I was very happy on Wednesday night to see a lot of people didn't sell the Blackhawks fans.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah,
it was the least red I've seen in the last 5 years.
How about that?
Yeah.
Steve, I have a suggestion for you. First intermission, you go over, you get Adam, and you just make a little walk over to KMOV TV, the Four Foxes, we call it. and you guys pay a little visit on Doug.
Yeah, we'll do that. Is that, what level is that press box? 300 level?
No, he's at the station tonight.
Press box is all the way up in the rafters.
And Doug will be at the station tonight putting together a sports final presentation.
It's Friday.
Those hallways on the 300 level because it's so tight up there. Mm. But I do have a message for the Blues execs.
Huh.
When we get there tonight, I don't want to see some silly skit with Louie before the game. I'm a grown-ass man. I don't need to watch cartoons while I'm at the game. Eliminate a lot of this trivia at the stoppages. Do a lesbian kiss cam. That's what I want. Mm. Lesbian kiss cam. Also, I like that these people look alike or whatever, but do the third rock from the sun so we can get our Dougie up on that screen.
Ugh, he won't be there tonight. He's going to be in the station putting together.
I always wonder how they do
game.
That.
Where the real sports are happening, down at Scott Trade, Doug.
Okay.
Let's go.
Yeah, well, I agree. I want Doug
out there doing the Cotton Eye Joe dance in the third period.
I would love to do that for you, but I'm engaged to a little woman named Journalism.
You guys are running news during the game?
Well, yeah.
What?
If the game runs past 10, we will. You've never noticed that before? You've never noticed a newscast on at night, even when there's a game being played?
Doug has done several sportscasts from outside stadiums where there's games going on in the stadium that he can't see.
Some of the greatest moments in the history of sports have seen me out in the parking lot, not seeing any of it.
I love it, Doug.
I don't.
Games are usually done by 10. Can't you go over there from like 7 to 9:30?
No, I can't. Who would
cutting VOs.
Who would put the show together? Who would put the sportscast together?
How'd you do it Wednesday night?
Wednesday night, Maurice was there and I was at the game.
Oh, I see. I see.
Tonight it's the other way around. Maurice will be at the game, and I'll be putting the show together. Hello?
Great.
You don't like that setup?
No, I think it was great. I think Maurice should be there, be in the studio tonight, and you should be at the game, Doug.
Well, you know, that's just the way it is.
You earned it, Doug. You're like 50 years in the business.
Well,
let's
go. It's not an earned or didn't earn. That's just the schedule that we have.
Bottom for Andy Gibb. Come on.
I didn't.
You're a big time.
I didn't.
You bottomed for Andy Gibb?
No, I went fishing with him once. He was just on the boat. It wasn't not like we were together. He just happened to be on the boat.
And he ended up bottoming.
I didn't.
God. These people have every, it seems like once a year you drop some Miami reference that we didn't know about. Like, I'm surprised you.
You brought it up. I didn't say it.
No, I like it, Doug. I like to hear your stories about Miami. I don't like to hear the same story 20 times. I like to hear different ones.
All right.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
And I, Doug and the cat are right. The Democrats did screw us over on this housing thing.
Yeah.
You look up in North County, and it just ruined the whole area. I mean, houses that were going for $90,000 are now going for $25,000 to $30,000. The municipalities up there dependent on their whole economy on these real estate taxes. And when that bubble burst, oh my God, they're all failing up there because of that.
Well, that's kind of Hello? A downer here to end your call with.
Yeah, I'm not. Oh, I'm ending it now?
Well, no,
I'm
I guess not, you can go on. Go on.
Trust me, you're ending it.
All right. Love you guys.
Thank
Let's
you.
Go.
There he is.
All right, thank you, Steve.
Steven Wild.
I started to say I'm fascinated how they do the look-alike thing. I guess the cameramen in the breaks or before the game, they scan the crowd and they find someone who's going to look like somebody.
Tell me a lot about you as a journalist. Like, you think this would be some giant thing, some giant problem to overcome. They look around, they go, okay, there's a guy here. They write it down and then they do it.
But the guy's got to be there right when they do the segment. What if the guy walked away and got a soda or something during that segment?
Sure, they have about 10 of them and they go to this one, that one, and that one.
And they write it down, and they remember.
I don't think it would
they
be
remember
that
right
big
where
of a deal to
do
put together.
Do they program the camera? Do they find the guy and program the camera? And then when it's time for this segment, they go back and hit a button, and the camera goes to that. You know, we've got robotic cameras that will do that.
You think you'd be able to pull that off, Tim?
Well, I saw. I want to digress to this. It is along the lines of the kiss cam that I saw at the Oklahoma City Thunder game.
Yeah.
They went to the kiss cam in the crowd, and they had a hetero couple, a man and a woman. God's plan. They were about to kiss. And then the girl went in for the kiss on the guy, pump faked, and then turned to make out with her lesbian lover. Mm-hmm. And then they immediately cut away to a guy with a stunned look on his face in the crowd. And that's what I would like to see tonight. And if they do that at the Scott Trade Center, the Blues will be up 2-0 and on their way to the Chalice in a parade down market.
Hmm. Do you think they would hang on to that shot if it happened at Scott Trade?
I would like to think so.
I bet they wouldn't.
I agree with you. But I think they should.
Yeah, give the Blues fans a little titillation.
There's no titillation in a man kissing a woman.
If you're going to do a kiss cam.
That's not titillation.
Isn't there more titillation in a woman kissing a woman?
Not necessarily, no.
Really? Are you serious?
Well, it depends on what the women look like, I guess.
You ever see Lady Chatterley's Lover on Showtime in like 1988, maybe?
No, I didn't.
That's the first time I kind of got this tingly feeling when I saw two in kissing, and ever since I've been chasing that high.
There is a huge double standard that at some point it will be addressed on a kiss cam, but if it happens where it's two women, everyone would be like applauding and cheering, and if it were two guys, everyone would be appalled.
It'd be like the end of Bruno.
I don't know what the end of Bruno was.
It's a double standard, Doug.
Yeah, it is.
People are now sending in pictures of lesbianism. It's fun. Steve, go sprinkle some salt on a shotgun and have yourself a salty snack.
No.
Doug's butt stubble. Doug, I'm golfing tomorrow. Do you want to join so you can pull a Tom Watson and mouth kiss us all on the 18th?
No.
That Tom Watson cucked the hell out of Ben Crenshaw at Augusta.
He didn't. He was just being affectionate to a woman I'm sure he's known for years. That's all it was.
But he kind of blew off Gentle Ben.
It was just a little peck. You didn't like his behavior there.
No, I was fine with it.
It's Ben Crenshaw didn't like
it. Maybe Gentle Ben didn't like it. I don't know. Big Al texting in that last time he was on Kiss Cam, he got arrested. Doug, think about it. I don't know what the hell that means.
I don't either.
I just know it was sent into the program. Listen, that's all I know about it. Let's see. Guys, my buddy. Hold on a second. We got another words. Situation. Me first off, a couple one. Of our listeners, Doug, descending in pictures. There's Andy Gibb popping in.
Yeah.
But, God, what is he doing there?
Oh, I don't know.
There's a couple of our listeners.
They look like they're 13. Are you sure those are listeners or just a picture they got off the internet?
It's a couple of guys topless laying on a roof together with a couple of beers. A couple of suds, as Tim Robbins said in Shawshank.
It make my ass chesty.
Easy, Mike. I don't even know what he said.
Doug, have two gentlemen ever swapped tongues on the kiss cam? Thanks, Eric in the Central West End.
I don't know. I haven't heard about it. I don't know.
Hey, Tim.
I don't know.
Jesse Jane is a regular at Thunder Games. Think about that. Thunder Pony.
Who is she?
What time do we have to spend thinking about it? Is that just like five seconds? Take 5 seconds now to think about it?
You like to think about
you
things.
You know who she is?
Let's take 5 seconds now.
She's been on the show.
Who is she?
She's an adult film star.
Jesse, so let's all pause here for 5 seconds and think about her at the Thunder Games.
Doug, did that Lady Chatterley movie have a sex scene in a barn on the hay? Thank you, Steve. Wildwood back.
How would I know? I said I didn't see the picture. I missed that film.
I made my wife a rigatoni special last night and used my Dickie V voice so much. She said, if I didn't stop, she would rigatoni special my face. Thoughts, that's from the Potent Potable.
Mm. We're talking rigatoni marinara.
Okay. That's not what we're talking. We're talking about basketball.
Oh, the Thunder?
Yeah, we're supposed to think about that.
What pasta goes best with, like, say you're watching the tournament? And
Rigatoni
goes?
I guess. That's all I hear about. He never says spaghetti or that.
What about a little penne?
I don't know. It's just more fun to say rigatoni.
Fair or foul, eye contact during an MMF. Thanks, Barnhart Brawler.
You're asking me for ground rules?
Listeners ask questions, and most of the time they're directed at you.
But can I have the question again, please?
Sure, no problem. Fair or foul, eye contact during an MMF?
I'd say it'd be foul. I wouldn't think you'd want that at all.
You know, now, when it's happened, how have you responded?
I've never been involved in that, Tim.
How's your ground and pound?
I have not been involved in that either.
A caller, Adam, wants you to know, Doug, that his tickets aren't $144.
Well, you said Section 106. He paid too much. Now they're $144 on StubHub. Well, he wouldn't have paid too much. His dad would have paid too much.
Now, how do you know he didn't pay for it?
Well, because I have a feeling that he didn't pay for them.
And that's unfair to other people who want tickets.
You think Adam dropped $200 on this?
Mike Lee's on two lines.
I've seen that. He's omnipresent on the phone lines. Sometimes I just go to it to get it out of the way to save Kyle and the Plowboy the time.
Aren't you cold
of
in a T-shirt?
Check that off the list.
Let me see. Seems like my nipples are having a soft cow. Like they're not hard, but they're not necessarily.
At some point, the temperature drops. In here.
My There's nipples an Alberta are Clipper. Hard. I am excited.
Hey.
Yes. Hello, Mike.
Hey, you got going blue light?
Well, I won't be able to go. Are you going to go to the game?
Well, Mike Caluso will give me a ticket.
Yeah,
we'll
generous executive who picked David Backus as the number one star in game one.
That guy's autograph guy in New Jersey.
New Jersey Devils.
Backus autograph?
Yep.
That's nice. He's a nice guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice guy.
Yeah, I was at Mike Caluso give me a ticket.
Yeah, I think a lot of people rooting for that. I doubt it's going to happen. He doesn't have any tickets to give away, probably, Mike.
Might be too late in the game, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm drinking
coffee right now.
Huh.
Sexy coffee?
Yeah, everybody asked Sessie.
Where are you at work? You at Steak and Shake this morning?
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Your wife kissed my ass.
Put him down! Put him down! Mike Lee has been suspended, fellas. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
That's his go-to line now. It's almost like Gary Coleman and What You're Talking About. If you don't hear it, you go, right. What was wrong with that episode of Different Strokes?
Gives me a chance to say, stop by for a delicious lunch or dinner at Ragazzi's. Maybe before or after the games tonight. It's close to downtown near I-44 and Kings Highway, Tim.
Doug, eye contact during an MMM is key. MMF, it's optional. Thanks, Eric in the Central West End.
I don't know that he gets to set the ground rules on any of that. I'm not interested in being the one to set the ground rules.
Well,
I'm
he is the brother of the Crestwood Coyote.
Not involved.
And so therefore I feel like he's got...
Right. All part of the Fultz family. Now, Jim was a lefty. And his brother Greg was a right-handed hitter. Played a lot of Indian ball with him.
Native American.
We just called it Indian ball. Nobody really cared at the time. I expect they still call it Indian ball. I don't think you'd have to call it Native American ball right now. You wouldn't have to.
Boy, your heart's full of hate.
I'm sure the Barnhart Brawler is appalled that I call it Indian ball. Oh, my God. They wouldn't say that on MSNBC.
You think the Brawler is going to call in?
Yeah, he'll be deeply offended by that.
We have the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll. We have the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. We have Rick Hummel. We have Corey Hirsch. We have the email of the day. We have your text. We have your phone calls. My God, what a show this is. You know, this sea monster, I'm telling you. I mean, that's what he does. It's what he does.
It's what he's supposed to do, you know.
Oh, so you're not impressed.
Well, no, it's a fabulous little presentation that he has cobbled together.
Don't say cobbled together.
Yeah, a little bit.
I was trying to make it sound a little fancier than what
it
makes
it seem like
really
you think
do.
You're better than everyone.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we're done talking about the Rams trading up to number one?
I don't care. No. Do you care?
I can't just get rid of it. I can't put it away yet.
You can't quit them, huh?
No. I'll be watching, I'm sure, for a little while.
It's like you're in a pup tent with the Rams. You can't quit them, right? That's what it's like.
You just spit on your hand?
I mean, I've stressed out over the drafts now for like 21 years, thinking about who they're going to get and how they're going to change.
What's
hard
the
to
number
just
one
stop.
Thing about the draft that you worry about? Whether they're going to have enough food for you.
That's right up there.
Okay.
That's right up there.
So if there's any angst about this year's draft, it's that it won't be providing you a free meal.
Well, you think that's out?
Yes.
You think they won't have us back to Rams Park for the food? Just because they're not playing here, there's no reason to cut back on the food. We've got to eat.
Well, call Artis Twyman and say, hey, can you put out a few...
Nice little spread?
A few trays of food out there?
Yeah. I know the building's empty now. How depressing is that?
Guess we could put new studios out
the
there.
The only thing that could be worse is if the Rams own the building. And that's what they're going to do in a few more years. For like a dollar, they get to pay a dollar and own it?
Yeah.
God bless America. Could you... have negotiated a worse deal from start to finish. It would have been possible to do a worse job. I guess Thomas Eagleton just thought, you know, 2020, that'll never get here for him, and it didn't. 2016, that's so far away, that'll never get here.
You think he's looking down going, it wasn't a great deal.
Yeah. He may be looking down saying, well, at least I delivered football for a couple decades anyway. It's more than we had.
What have you done, Vaughn? That's what he's looking down at you. Yeah. What have you done,
nothing.
Vaughn?
So I would rather that we had it and lived through it for a while than for it to never happen.
It is better to have loved than lost, yeah, than never to have loved at all.
I just hope it's not the end of the NFL forever in St. Louis.
Of course, there's no. There, do you really think? I mean, who knows when? Back when everyone's got a computer chip in their brain and the world is a different place, but in our lifetimes, you think the NFL is like, all right, we got to do something about St. Louis? Really? You're still holding out hope?
We kind of thought they were done in 88 when the Cardinals moved out. I think a lot of people thought, well, that's it.
This is two, and this is the NFL not only helping but encouraging the owner to lie to the fan base here and get that team out of Dodge.
Well, you never know if some other team should just collapse, fall apart, want to move. It's possible. I'm not going to give up hope.
Well,
it's possible.
I'm not saying it's impossible for it to ever happen. Not in our lifetimes. You're a geezer like me.
I'm curious what's going to happen in San Diego. I think I said this on the air last week. And I would like to maybe, I don't know, theorize it intensely with somebody from San Diego, because I'm just not sure that Dean Spanos is going to go to L.A.
I wouldn't.
And
I mean,
so if there's any chance that that's the case, and the polls show that the referendum to get public funding for a new stadium in San Diego is highly unlikely based on the pre-polling, then that allows the Raiders to go to Los Angeles if Dean Spanos doesn't take his option right now that he has for a year, another 8 months at this point. Then what is he going to do? I don't know. That's the thing that fascinates me. So what I somehow hope for is the reason that Dave Peacock hasn't discussed anything publicly since the night of January 12th, at least as far as I know. I should say that because I don't know. Maybe he's been doing interviews on 101 on a daily basis and CamWax. I have no idea.
I haven't heard him quoted anywhere.
Well, on the night of the move, he was, but that's it. And maybe that's because that's what's going on. I just don't know if he's going to go into business with Stan Kroenke. I really, truly wonder about that.
Isn't Davis looking at Las Vegas?
Yeah.
And if you're Spanos, you're like, okay, we'll make it work here. And I know that the public sentiment is against funding any sort of stadium, but with the NFL seeming more and more willing to kick in money to help make something happen for him.
Yeah. What we learned is that there really are no rules with any of this. If the NFL wants to give Spanos $1 billion to build a new stadium, then that's what they'll do. If they want him to stay in San Diego and leave Kroenke for L.A. to have it alone, that's what they'll do. They've already offered $300 million, right, to San Diego when $200 million was the going rate here. So maybe they kick in another, maybe they double that, and they can redo the stadium they've got, fix it up. I don't know. You would think that the NFL would want to stay in San Diego.
I agree. And if you're Spanos, you want to stay in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. And you're a year behind getting into that market. It was already thought, you know, outside of the hope perhaps here, that and the Carson presentation, that the Chargers were the third most popular with a large gap between the Rams and Raiders in L.A. And now you get there a year late, and you're the little brother, and you're in business with him? I just don't know if that's what's going to happen. So then I sit there and I go, okay, if they're not going to get the funding in San Diego, then what is their play? I don't know.
Well, I can't imagine that his play would be, I think things will be better in St. Louis. I wouldn't think that that's part of his thought process.
No, but if St. Louis, you don't have to get a public vote to get funding,
mm-hmm,
there is a tangible difference between the two marketplaces. And then, you know, one can understandably say, well, why would you want to move? And don't get offended. But, I mean, if we can be honest here, you know, if all things were equal, would you rather live in San Diego or St. Louis? I think the polling is going to show 95%,
well, of course,
with the exception of you, would want to live in San Diego. But you take your private jet and you come over here for 10 days of the year, and that's that.
What Kroenke did.
It's not, you know, it's like Ziggy Wolf has a place in Minneapolis. So, well, he probably has a place in Minneapolis, but he lives in Minneapolis. So, I don't know. Listen, nobody's told me anything about this. There were times throughout the course of the whole Rams thing that I was told a bunch of stuff that was awfully intriguing. But on this one, this is just me going, what the hell the Chargers going to do? I don't know. But I'm just not – maybe Dean Spanos will go up to L.A. and it will double the value of his franchise. It'll be like, screw it, I'll do it. I'm just not sure he will. And I think he'd love to stay in San Diego. I just don't think it's going to pass. So then what does he do? I don't know. Yes, Chaps.
Hello, Chaps.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you doing?
We're fine. You?
I'm doing great, man. Right. I wasn't calling about the stadium, by the way, guys.
Ah.
There is no stadium. No. Newsflash. No, I figured I'd call in and talk a little Rams to celebrate. It's the last day at your old studio since you guys are going to the new studio on Monday.
That's right.
How stupid of a deal was it to trade everything for the first-round draft pick? That's my only comment. And we're looking for 2-14, which I hope that team never wins another effing game as long as I live.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, here's my play. I think you and I will actually see another NFL team in our lifetime, but Cat and Doug will be long dead.
thanks for that.
We'll probably be in our 70s. But anyways, guys, I just wanted to call in to get killed and people tell me to drink bleach and go stick it up my butt like I did to Doug last night.
And put him down!
Yeah, that's the thing. Chaps, he does always end his calls like that, and yet you want me to put him on.
Well, I'd forgotten.
That's a weird dynamic, isn't it?
I was really into the Rams trade thing. But I'll tell you what, Chaps has been suspended, fellas. Suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name went into the Rigazzi suspension log. You'll, hey, they got a steam table open daily from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for a quick lunch. Lunchy. Cafeteria style, 13 different options, all for $8.50. Nice. $8.50. Now, that's a good place to have lunch right there. Rigazzi's, 4945 Daggett on the Hill.
Doug, how is St. Louis a bigger TV market than San Diego? Thanks, Hunchback of Von Castle.
How is it? Well, it's done by population. That's how it is.
I didn't think it was.
St. Louis is, it's 21, and I think San Diego is maybe right behind it.
I thought it was ahead of St. Louis, but I could be wrong. I haven't looked.
St. Louis is the largest television market minus Orlando without an NFL team.
Right,
and I believe, and I know what you're going to say, but that doesn't count San Diego at this point anyway. But I am virtually certain that San Diego is in the 20s. But the Inland Empire, as it is known, which is L.A., Orange County, and San Diego, is 21 million people.
Does it? But does that entail the entire San Diego proper area?
Mm-hmm.
San Diego's market 28, St. Louis's market 21.
Did not know that.
Yeah, the largest market without an NFL team. Oh, I guess Sacramento also. I mean, I don't know if I guess by definition, Sacramento, even though it's what, 2 hours away from, probably
yeah,
3 hours away from Santa Clara.
Close to San Francisco, though.
You ever been to Sac Town?
I have never been to Sac Town.
Driven through it.
Pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Oh, what I saw looked nice.
Guy like you.
You like Vivek?
What's Vivek?
The owner of the Kings.
He's not real popular. I've never, don't know the man, never met the man.
He's had 7 coaches since 2007. Just fired George Karl.
I haven't really paid attention
could a guy
to the
like
Sacramento
you,
Kings.
Could a guy like you go to Sac Town, plant your flag, and make it work there?
I don't really have a flag to plant.
The Vaughn flag. It's got the family crest on it.
I don't know. I
got a lot of Emmys in the
I'd try to find something to do. There's worse towns in Sacramento, California, that's for sure.
I like the West Coast. I like Los Angeles, California.
Seattle is even an interesting town. It's just so far away from everything else.
Not Vancouver.
I would like to get a sensibly priced place right on the beach in Malibu. You know, like a nice,
shop
maybe a $180,000
right.
condo.
Get something out there for about $175. ladies and gentlemen, the Cardinals and Reds are in action this evening. The Cardinals have won 5 of 6. Doug, is it that low smart? What up,
he's
Lowe
pitching Smart? Tonight, yeah.
That's the Plowboys guy, and he's on the slab?
On the bump.
Bump, yeah.
Thank you. And Rick Hummel, the Hall of Famer, joins us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines to talk it over. You know, Kamish, when we talk with Adam Wainwright every spring, I feel like the tradition is for him to talk about the starting pitching and how good it is, and then he will bring up how Jaime Garcia, if all things are equal, he has the best stuff of all of the arms, and occasionally we will see that on display. And yesterday, it was most certainly on display in the Cardinals' 7-0 shutout win. It was a one-hitter for Garcia.
Well, that's one of the three or four best pitch games we've seen at that ballpark. I mean, Shelby Miller had one.
Yeah.
Wainwright had a good one. You know, that's, how can you do much better than one hit and 13 strikeouts and one walk? That's his balls never go straight. You know, you see how many jab swings hitters take, and even catchers drop balls sometimes because they never go straight.
I think he struck out 6 of the first 9 he faced, and it looked early on that we were going to see something special. You could just tell by the variety of pitches he was using, the movement, and his command of them.
Well, the last, you know, 3 years ago, I guess it's 4 years ago now, he had a no-hitter into the eighth against the Brewers and ended up with, a two-hitter that day. When he was last healthy, probably, 2012. And that's the kind of pitcher he is. That's why they gave him picked up his option at the end of the previous season, that they would do the same at the end of this season if he continues pitching anywhere near like that.
What do you expect to see from Martinez tonight?
He was really good the other day. I think he and Garcia have been the best two guys in the rotation from the late spring on. I mean, Walker was really good the other day. Wainwright and Leake both have been pretty average so far in the first two starts. So it's pretty good number 4 and 5 when Garcia and Martinez are 4 and 5.
And we're seeing Wainwright not quite locked in. He thought he figured out the problems going into his last start, and it wasn't a good one. And you could tell he was really disappointed. What do you think is going on with Waino?
I don't know, other than the fact that he hasn't really pitched very much since last April. He came back and pitched 6 innings or so of relief in the playoffs and at the end of the regular season, but he's probably just a little bit rusty from pitching, maybe got in some bad habits along the way. When you're big like that, there's so many moving parts and intricacies in the delivery, it's probably just a tick or two off, but he has not been very good. You're right.
Commish, Jeremy Hazelbaker has been out of control. Home run yesterday, hitting .481 at this point. It is still certainly a really small sample size, but what he's bringing to the table, yesterday power, we've also seen his speed on display. It seems like any time he hits a ground ball in the infield, there's a good chance he's going to beat it out. At the very least, he's going to make it close. In your opinion, and I'm sure you talk to people at the organization and perhaps around baseball, how sustainable do you think this performance, not, of course, the .481 clip, but for him to be an actual everyday player for the Cardinals in 2016 is?
Yeah, the scouts are still kind of weighing this a little bit. Some of the scouts I talked to actually like Diaz better because of his, maybe that's his skill set as a shortstop is more significant probably than Hazelbaker's as an outfielder. They like Hazelbaker's speed, and they like his ability to play 3 positions, but they want to see how the pitchers handle him the second time around here when scouting reports spend more time with him than they do with Holliday and Molina and Grichuk and Piscotty and the rest of the Cardinals, Carpenter. So the speed won't go away, and the defensive ability won't go away. So I think he's a big league player. Is he a big league regular player? Well, I don't know about that. We'll have to see. And is he better than – the question will be asked ultimately, is he better than Tommy Pham, because one of those guys won't be here a couple weeks from now.
And the Cardinals will have a decision to make here if they do indeed activate Ruben Tejada this weekend. Who will be put sent down to Memphis? Maybe DFA'd? I don't know. What do you think is going to happen with that?
If Tejada is okay, they have a tough decision to make. You're right. But if Diaz has another big weekend, they might tell Tejada, well, you might need a little more time here. There's no limit. He can come off the list. They can keep him on there as long as they want to, making sure he's okay, of course. I guess you look at a guy like Adams who hasn't played very much, but I don't think they'd make a move to either send him out or trade him just yet. I think Tejada will be ultimately put back on, and if Diaz ever regresses to the point where he's not playing every day, he'd be sent back out. So I don't know if that's going to happen this weekend yet. I think Tejada might stay on a few more days after that if Diaz is still hot.
What would the other options be if Diaz keeps playing like he has? And I agree, I'm not so certain they're ready to make a move on Adams. What are the other options, do you think?
Well, Greg Garcia is always an option, but he's been so good off the bench both last year for most of the season and this year for a couple weeks. He's plays 3 positions, probably not as well as Tejada plays them. So you have to decide whether you want offense or you want defense there. So that would be a way to go. You can send him out and bring Greg back later on. That might be something they do, but that would be tough for him because he's played really well.
Yeah, he looks like a hitter. He looks like a guy who might have a future to stick around for a few years.
Well, especially in that role, a left-handed hitting infielder is very valuable. And he can pinch hit, which is extremely unusual for a young guy. And he's gotten used to doing that. So Tejada now, you have to think back to the end of spring when they got Tejada. They sent Diaz out the next day. So that's totally going to happen this time, but that's when they got Tejada. They figured Diaz needed to play every day. And he needs to play every day, either here or there. If he's not going to play every day here, he's got to play every day there.
Another guy that we won't have for the rest of the season, Marco Gonzalez, because he's going to have Tommy John. So if you're looking at depth for the starting pitchers, you got Hefner, Deck McGuire, and there's that Tim Cooney issue who's got a shoulder problem. And as I understand it, they're just letting him sit, and they'll revisit in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah. I think McGuire and Hefner are the more immediate guys. And then Alex Reyes' suspension will end in about a month, May 17th, I think. And he's in extended spring training right now. He's throwing, but he can't pitch in any games, really. You could, in theory, bring him up and put him on the 40-man roster, and even on the 25-man roster now. That's a minor league suspension. He was not suspended at the major league level, but I think the Cardinals want him to serve the rest of that 50-game suspension and then bring him up when it's time. And his time will come later in the year. Now, as you look at it, you don't need a starting pitcher right now, so this issue is a moot point so far. But he'll be the guy that will be here before the season's over if something happens, but not for a while yet. Lyons still has a chance to be your sixth starter so far, but the more he spends time, the more time he spends in the bullpen, the less capable he'll be of going multiple, four, five, six innings. So that would be out of the question probably a month from now.
After a dreadful start, Randall Grichuk has certainly got it turned around, hitting the ball much better. You see him doing anything differently than he did that first week when he struggled?
Well, Dougie seems to be selecting pitches better. He's not swinging at everything or letting the good ones go by. You get confused sometimes. You think your strike zone recognition is good, but you're fishing at balls outside the zone and taking a fastball right down the middle. But he looks great right now. And then he tried the same thing with Wong. He's had him out a couple starts, and Wong has not kicked it in gear just yet, but they've spent a lot of money and thinking he is going to do that, so I'm not too worried about that. They've got pretty good coverage in the infield right now. But yeah, Grichuk looks terrific, and with Hazelbaker going as well as he can, you can't take him out, really. You have one prime player sitting every day, like they played Moss yesterday and Piscotty sat, so everybody has sat in one game at least except Molina and Carpenter so far.
Kamish, the Cubs come to town on Monday, and they are 8-1. Doug, you love run differential. They are plus 45 on run differential. You know who has the second best run differential in baseball?
Cardinals.
That's correct. How about that?
Well, they've had some games where they've scored 10, 11, 12 runs.
Yeah, and they are at plus 24, even better than the Orioles, who are sitting there at 7-2, but they've lost a couple in a row. But the Cubs are raking, and they're getting great pitching. What do you think of what we're seeing so far in Chicago? Granted, 9 games into the season, but sitting there at 8-1, Rick.
Well, the Cubs are as good as everybody here feared they would be. You knew they could score runs, and you knew they had good starting pitching at the top of the rotation in Arrieta and Lester and Lackey. They've gotten by with Hendricks and Hamill, too. Hamill was good yesterday. They're going to be a handful. I don't know about their pitching through an entire season, if it's going to be deep enough at the back end of the rotation or if their bullpen. Cubs have had very few close games. We don't know how good their closer is at all. They're winning by 5 or 6 runs every time. There's no need to have a closer right now. So that's the two things to watch. They're going to score, and their defense, you have to keep an eye on that. It's probably going to be pretty good with Hayward and Fowler both playing now, and Schwarber not playing. So they're a very dangerous team, and if they don't make the playoffs, I'd be very surprised. And then they're surely the best team in baseball right now, them and Washington.
They just swept the Reds, who had gotten off to a pretty good start, too. The Reds they don't figure to hang around very long, do they?
No, the Reds don't have enough. They have too many pitchers hurt right now. Half the rotation on the disabled list. So they're better than the Brewers, and they're better than the Braves, and they're probably better than the Phillies. But the Phillies have had great pitching, too, so far. But the Reds will be the fourth team in the league. Pittsburgh, Chicago, and the Cardinals are light years ahead of the other two teams.
Yeah. Rick Hummel,
with us every week here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, giving us his perspective on the state of the Cardinals and around baseball. Kamish, we always appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend with the Cardinals and the Reds, and looking forward to the Cubs coming to town on Monday. Thanks so much.
You bet.
There he is, Rick Hummel, with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone line.
It will be interesting to see how the Cardinals handle the return of Tejada. Would probably be easiest for him, as Rick pointed out, to just say to Tejada that quad probably needs a little bit more time.
Yeah, I would think. I don't know how you could be Greg Garcia and hit the way he has and say, go back to AAA. If Tejada hadn't done anything, I don't know that Tejada ever hits the way Garcia has hit.
He's been their best pinch hitter, Garcia has. He's done everything that they could possibly ask of that young fellow. So I agree, but if they brought in Tejada and he never got a chance, are they willing to part company with him now? Could be, or they could just say, let's delay the decision and kick the can down the road a little bit.
And Pham is the same way. What do they do with him now, with Hazelbaker tearing it up?
Well, he said he had a good checkup. He's got a oblique, which he called very tricky. He had a good report on Tuesday, and he said he has been cleared to do some weightlifting, expects to start hitting over the next few days. Mm-hmm. So they have some time with Pham.
Right. But if it's 2 weeks and things go somewhat like they're going now,
where do you put him?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a spot for him either.
And if you're Pham, who has looked good when he's been healthy, but his career, I mean, he's the same age as Hazelbaker. His career has been plagued by one injury after another. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, okay, now this guy Hazelbaker is playing like I should be playing.
Yeah.
I apologize. I wanted to make sure that I brought this, but I was surprised to see this in Dan Caesar's column because he was writing about the start time and the hand jobbery that goes on with that, but that the ratings were down 24% from last year for the game one. That's surprising to me.
24%.
Yeah. Fans in the regular season appear to take an I'll believe it when I see it stance regarding the Blues local telecasts. After three consecutive first-round playoff exits, ratings fell 24% from last year. That's
surprising. I think it could have had something to do with the starting time.
I think that damn starting time's the same deal every year. I don't know. Kat, do you know if it's apples to apples on that? I don't know. I thought it was an 8:30 last year, 8:43.
I think they had later starts for some of the games last year, too.
I don't know.
That's surprising.
You'd have to compare it to what the start was for game one.
Sea Monster, find the start time of game one for the Minnesota Wild Buzzsaw last year.
Because that's the time after you play the first period, as a lot of people say, you know what, I'm going to better hit the hay.
But the game, I mean, even though it was scoreless in the first period, that with that pace of play, it was just damn good. It was entertaining as hell. And it's the Blackhawks.
And the rating is what, Fox Midwest rating? It says
Fox Sports Midwest rating fell 24% from last year.
There was also a Cardinal game up against it.
Game last year.
Yeah, and
I don't know.
One of the big impacts on ratings is whether you're on the main Fox Sports Midwest channel or the Plus channel, and the Blues were on the main channel.
But it seems like if you were interested in the game, you'd find it.
But some, yes, I agree, but some people don't, or some people are confused.
But it was on the main channel.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I said.
Oh, yeah. So then it's not relevant to the discussion.
I would think something was different from last year. Something had to be different. Either the Cardinals weren't playing, or it was a 7 o'clock starting time next year, last year.
What do you have here, boys? Go ahead and just talk.
8:30 start last year.
Okay. Were the Cardinals up against them last year?
Did you have a date
the
on
the first
that?
Game? Because we got to
provide proper context to our data.
Right.
Kai,
we're doing forensics.
That's what we're doing.
A little bit of workshopping.
Yeah, this is actual workshopping.
And if we weren't idiots, we'd remember offhand, and then we could say, oh,
and
no.
If we had an ounce of professionalism, we would have done it before the show.
Yeah,
but we're just
going to
do it right now here and just wait for our producers to figure it out. And maybe Kyle can play the Time Kill music or any thoughts on Joe Paterno, Donald Trump.
Cardinal had a 115 first pitch.
See, last year.
There you go. There's your difference.
Wow. Now it means 24%?
I would think so. I would think it would.
Doug, the reason was the Cardinals game, Kobe's last game in Golden State.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Golden State and Kobe.
I don't know if there's a large overlap on Blues fans and NBA fans.
The fact that a lot of people would rather watch the Cardinals than the Blues, in the playoffs.
The Cardinals did get a healthy number on the Plus channel. So that tells you that a lot of those eyeballs that would have been on the Blues were on the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. So there we did forensics and we figured it out.
Tim, I live in Central Illinois and the game wasn't even available on Fox Sports Midwest here. That's from Yasiel the Boy Puig. Can't imagine that. Well, I'm going to Columbia tonight. If the game's not on in Columbia, I'm going to raise hell. Holy moly.
Well, can you watch it on your phone?
I guess, but I want to go to a bar.
You want to go to a bar?
Yeah, but there's other...
It's on NBC Sports
Network,
too.
Yeah, there's other places.
Doug, I'll be fine.
Yeah, there are other places to view the Blues game if you're out of market. Yeah.
What'd you say you were doing in Columbia?
No, it's fine. It's since Joe Strauss passed away, I guess Alexis's daughter has kind of viewed me in some capacity as a father figure, I suppose, and it's her sorority's parents weekend. So,
oh, well, that's nice of you.
Anna Marie and I are going down there for that.
That's nice.
I hadn't said anything, but it was, yes, it is. I'm flattered mm-hmm. because I consider myself the maturity of a 15-year-old, and I am a
You'll
pervert.
Fit in well in Columbia.
That's very nice to hear. And I read you. That's why I want to play poker with you, because when it was broached before. I could tell that it was something that made you a little uncomfortable. So I've avoided that. Doug doesn't have the same poker skill that I do.
I thought maybe you were going for some good big party, Sigma Chi reunion or something. Yeah.
No, I don't know if I would go to that if it were in my backyard.
You wouldn't?
I don't think so.
You wouldn't want to see your old fraternity brother?
I mean, that's fine. I don't know. I wasn't really into the whole thing.
Well, you don't have to be into the whole fraternity structure, but you still made some good friends, didn't you?
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
All right.
It was fine.
I love my college years, but I've been back one time.
Well, it's a long way for you to go back.
And I saw some of the same stuff and behaviors that turned me off when I was a senior, as immature as I was back then.
Yeah, well, you went to that school that specializes in the preparation of luncheon.
You can say
meats.
Whatever you want, but I'm a notable alumni, thank you, of that college.
That's what they've got now on their Wikipedia page.
Yeah. It is on there.
Among our notable alumni.
Which, when I saw that, it made me very sad for the school, and I assume one of our listeners put that in there.
Tim, what are you doing in Columbia? I'll be there, too. We can drink beer together. Juan from PP Corp.
Huh, how about that?
You like Zima, though, right? You're a wine cooler kind
of guy. I am. Yeah. Bartles and James went away, and I didn't know what to do.
Whatever you want to drink, that's up to you, Tim.
Guys, I heard the game wasn't on in Columbia on Wednesday. That's from Dan and O'Fallon. Is he just making that up to put me on tilt?
It could be.
It's on NBC Sports.
See, here's the thing, and this takes me back to when I was there, and I'm honestly picturing this. I'm dead serious. I mean, when it gets down to it, you know, whatever Alexis wants to do is what I'm doing, and that's that, you know. But her friend wants to watch the game as well. And so we were planning on watching the game together, Anna Marie and Alexis hanging out and everything. So I'm watching the games at 7. It's perfect. But I'm taking myself back to Columbia, and I'm assuming the Royals play at 7 o'clock. Maybe they're on the West Coast. And I can already picture it, and it's just a crap that I haven't had to deal with in like 20 years, I guess 15 years, whatever, where I've got some guy with a chip on his shoulder about St. Louis for some reason. Where are the Royals, Doug? Tell me they're on the West Coast, so I won't have to deal with this, because this is going to be... Oh, they are! Oh, sweet! They're at Oakland.
Well, you got picked on by Royals fans.
No, I didn't get picked on.
Punch in the head.
You know, Doug, remember the Cardinals and Braves in 96? Really close final few games.
14-0 and 15-0.
Well, matter of opinion. But the Cardinals were playing in Game 7 against the Braves, and they hadn't been to the World Series in, at that point, 9 years. And... It was a Monday night, and the Chiefs had a Monday night game. And I just thought it was kind of going to go without even a debate that Game 7 of the NLCS would be the game that would be on the TVs at the bar. So we go up to Willie's, probably pony up there this evening, if I had to guess, for Juan from the PP Corp.
Willie, our old producer, has a place in Columbia. So you go there.
I could. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And hang out and have some beverages and food and watch the Game 7 of the NLCS in 1996. And there was warfare and just belligerence from Chiefs fan over the idea that the Chiefs game wouldn't be. And I'm going, this is Game 7. Like, if the Royals were in Game 7 in the NLCS and the Rams were playing, I mean, granted, the Rams at that point, you know, were what the Rams were. And it was just like, we got to get out of here. We have to leave because there's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, it's like hill people came out. And so I'm thinking to myself, tonight, I got to go back into that thing that I assume is still there. I would think Kansas City people are a little happier now that they have a world championship and can, like, kind of, and their city's growing and they have good things going on there.
Nice place.
It is. So I don't know what their deal is with St. Louis, because, like, it's, you know, doing much better. But here we have this game tonight that I want to watch, and I'm thinking, God, if the Royals are playing at the same time, I'm going to have to revisit this crap again, and I don't know what I'll watch it. So I will, now in 1996, I didn't have the phone option. But I guess that the, well, I don't guess, now I see the Royals are playing at Oakland, so I don't have to worry about it. The Blues game, oh, I'm telling you, it would have been a thing. I couldn't believe it in 1996. It was going to be a fight at Willie's because the Chiefs fan had to have the Chiefs mid-October Monday night game.
Don't they have more than one TV?
It was, Anna Marita's texted me, this really might be a problem.
Oh, no.
She's seen it. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it. I know a lot of our younger listeners who are either at Missouri now or just fresh off of going to Missouri know about it. It's the strangest damn thing. Like I said, I would hope that angry Kansas Cityan is now like, oh, it's sweet. We have a world championship and a great baseball team, and we still have the Chiefs, and we have a city that's growing.
Great barbecue.
We're happy. We have, at this moment, won this huge war that exists on one side of the state with St. Louis.
I saw it. I was there, and they did have a chip on their shoulder about St. Louis, where St. Louis doesn't really care much about Kansas City either way. It's fine.
You think it's that way that Chicago people view us that way?
See, that I don't think
St. Louis thinks there's a big rival.
This often on the show. I don't think anybody in St. Louis. St. Louis is better than Chicago.
Who says that? No one could say.
Right. I mean, it's a world. That's a world class city. You know, the weather sucks. Not like it's great here, but it's even worse there in the winter. It's a world-class city.
The only thing
the thing, like the Kansas City narrative is St. Louis, you know, St. Louis wants to be Chicago, and it's like,
no.
I mean,
no, but
I
we
guess.
Consider them the big rivals in just about every sport. And
yeah,
just,
but no
I
one, no one,
they look at it the same
no
way.
I wonder, I suppose.
No one mistakenly thinks that we're rivals as a city, except maybe on the front of crime with Chicago.
Yeah, they may actually have us beat on that now. Shootings, anyway.
Well, now we can kind of peacock around.
In terms of
bit.
Numbers, they got way ahead of us.
Well, we got to get better. We got to get better.
We do our best per capita to
get back in the hunt.
Yes, caller Ellen.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
What's the word?
Well, I have a comment on Dan Caesar's column. One, did anyone fact check it?
What column are you talking about?
I thought Dan Caesar wrote about the Blues.
Oh, about the ratings with the Blues game.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't see his column. Yes. Does he offer any, except for the fact that they've had disappointing playoffs, did he look back and say, all right, game one last year they were against?
Let's see. For the playoff opener, Nielsen says 10.8% of area homes tuned into FSM's telecast. Game one last year was versus Minnesota, had a rating of 11.3. The figure for the opener 2 years ago against Chicago was 10.4.
But did he say what it was up against? You know, that's the context
that
you need. That
we figured that out.
That sometimes he decides not to put in there. I mean, if it is as we suspected, you're up against the Cardinals head-to-head, and as opposed to having an afternoon game the year before, yes, having a Cardinal game opposite you will impact the ratings. I'm surprised he didn't put that context, if that's the case.
Well, A, I'm not surprised. B, gosh, does anybody ever spell check his columns or grammar check them? But as an aside, I would say my take on it would be just a guess. I think a lot of people just thought the Blues were finally going to break through last year because they were playing the Wild.
Yeah.
So if the ratings are down as much as he says, it's like, oh, my God, we're finally past the Kings. We don't have to deal with the Blackhawks. We're going to finally win round one, and everybody's all excited. And now it's like, wait and see. We'll see how the first few games go with Chicago.
Yeah, well, what I was saying about that, and I think there is some truth to it. The 25% drop to me is very surprising. But you know, as we pointed out, or as the Plowboy and the Seamaster, you know, said the Cardinals played a day game last year, and this year they had the game on at the same time. I did want to watch Kobe Bryant's ceremonies at Staples, and I did want to watch the Warriors, but that game just started when the Blues and we're going into their second intermission, so I was able to watch some of it and obviously later on. But I do think, because I think when you're talking hockey, and I know this alienates hardcore hockey fans, and it's not done to intend it. It's to do that. That's not my intent. It's just truly how I believe the market works. Obviously, in St. Louis with baseball, you're talking about, I would think, 80 to 90% of the population is into the Cardinals in some capacity, whereas the Blues regular season, it's God, I don't know, 33% really intense, and they want everybody else to be on board, but it's just that you can't make people be into something. I'm trying to make women into lesbianism. It's not working.
For some.
So what happens is if the Blues beat the Blackhawks, I believe the city at that point will become enthralled with Blues mania. I truly believe that will happen, because then at that point, this wait and see that Dan Caesar's theorizing contributed to the ratings, everybody will be on board. And on top of that, not only will they have won a first round series, but they will have beaten the defending Stanley Cup champions and this perceived roadblock, even though they've only played them one time since 2002 in the Blackhawks. And people go, okay, they can beat the Blackhawks. They sure as hell can beat the Stars. And then maybe they avenge all of the demons and get the Kings in the Western Conference Finals and beat them. And then, of course, Doug, the matchup with the Panthers that we've been talking about
right.
since preseason.
Yeah.
That's what I believe will happen, Ellen.
So are you – I did not read Dan Caesar. Are you saying that I just agreed with Dan Caesar without reading Dan Caesar?
He did say St. Louisans may be taking a wait-and-see approach.
Oh,
uh-oh, Ellen's
I
upset.
I really don't want to be in agreement with Dan Caesar.
Or it might be, as we said, this year it faced the Cardinal game head-to-head yep. as opposed to last year where we believe it was the playoff game was standalone because the Cardinal had played a day game.
I don't think it's any more complicated than that. If given the choice,
Dan
most
Caesar
people would rather watch
it. Any other misstatements, Jim, that you can recall?
Yeah, I think he's off. Yeah,
Ellen, you're just trying. I mean, why are you
just
doing this?
The pot.
I was so happy the cat hadn't said anything, and you just kept going. It's like all you wanted.
I agree with the cat about.
I know, but I'm just.
Yes, he's off. I said it. He's off.
He just mails it in. I am sorry. There is it. It really frustrates me because I mean, what a great job to have. And it's like he's doing it on the back of a napkin while eating a sandwich. I mean, it's well, just the worst.
Good enough for Lincoln.
Well, that's Lincoln. Come on. All Lincoln, right. Dan Caesar. Thank you.
I'm actually having the office just check, vet the facts for us. So maybe if it is a day game versus a night game thing, that to me, that more than explains why there might be a drop this
I'm
year.
Sorry, Tim. I'm sorry. I don't right, mean to make Ellen. Your life worse.
You call her, Ellen. You came in here with a plan and you executed your plan.
I
but it took like,
did.
You
I
had to like bait
did.
The
I
cat four
it,
times.
So I did have the little theory, but I don't mind, you know, Dan Caesar just. Oh. Anyway, I'll be quiet now.
Thank you.
How about that, Doug? Here's caller Ellen.
Well, thank you, Ellen.
What's with this broad trying to talk sports? She should be in the kitchen talking about whether white or wheat bread goes better on my turkey club. Doug, that's from the big boss of North County.
I know a lot of hardcore Cardinal fans, hardcore, who really wouldn't care much about hockey at all. They might watch hockey if there wasn't a Cardinal game. But if they're on at the same time, it's going to be the Cardinals. And I think that's as simple as that's what happened.
It is correct. Last year, game one was on a Thursday at 8:30, same time frame. The Cards had played a day game. So, yes. And I would say if you're looking for a reason, you can say Blues fans have a wait-and-see attitude. Or they were opposite a Cardinals game this year. Mm-hmm. And let's put a little context. That certainly would be a huge reason, right? An obvious reason that should probably be included in any sort of article written about it.
I was at the
for
hockey
context.
I was at the hockey game and couldn't help but watch the Cardinals on my phone. I couldn't help it.
I was at the Cardinals game. I couldn't help but watch the Blues game on my phone.
Yeah.
And I think, all this talk about the Blues and, you know, some of the casual. This town is going Blues crazy right now. There's no question about it. And to look at this difference with the ratings and trying to make it seem like there's an attitude shift by Blues fans without looking at all what could have been the main factor is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I do think if you think it's Blues crazy right now, I think in 2 weeks, if in fact they're playing, whether it be the Wild or the Stars, and it would be a hell of a surprise if they're playing the Wild. I think it will overtake the market. I really do.
I feel it right now. But and again, I didn't read it, but he did not, in his article, mention anything about what could have been last year, a different scenario coverage-wise. Should have been in there.
We got to take a break. Corey Hirsch is going to give us his take on the Blues and Blackhawks this evening. Game 2, Duncan Keith's return. That's coming up in the top of the hour. Plus, we have the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll. I have some questions. I'm looking forward to hearing your answers on as well. Plus, our Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week and our email of the day. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After.